Why are some of you laughing at each other when you say that? There's a lot of laughing going on. Lord, I just say thank you today for a family that is here. I pray your love and your blessing would be extended into each life, into each home. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I want to say again thank you to Bruce and Peggy for the goodies out front. Isn't that just special when you come in? Thank you. Last week I shared on the thought, times and seasons. I read the scripture verse, Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Everyone. Every one of you will go through a time and a season in your life. And I'm reminded of it every year at this time of the year that the seasons are changing. And not only seasons in the natural change, but the seasons on in the earth and our culture have also changed. And little did I know last week when I was saying that, that even later on that day, on the same day, one of the greatest atrocities, massacres in U.S. history would take place in Las Vegas when 22,000 people would gather for a night that they thought was going to be fun and just frolic, that some 64-year-old white male who was deranged would open up firing, killing 58 innocent lives and putting over 500 people in hospitals that night, creating chaos and terror. And I said these words last week, that God doesn't cause everything, but he does change everything. I want you to think about that. Because, you know, every time something like this takes place, our culture shifts a little bit again. But in the middle of it, as much as God didn't cause it, he uses people like you and I to bring the change to our nation and even to those who are watching around the world through selfless acts of kindness and being the light and the salt of the earth. When Ryan and Aaron get up and talking about going out on Adopt-A-Block or talking about coming together at a night where 30s and 40s and some 60-year-olds show up, gather together and show love to one another. God uses you and I to impart, to show love. When you show up to church on a Sunday morning together, you have no idea the shoulders and the people that you are coming in contact with and touching and speaking to who may be going through something just so troublesome to them that they don't know how to get through it. And maybe this is the only bright spot that they encounter in their whole week. I thank God for that. That's why I love the church. We're not here to condemn or to point fingers or to tell anybody how bad and how rotten they are. We are here to do what Jesus does, to be the glory and the lifter of your head, to give you a reason to smile and to give you a reason to go for it tomorrow and to wake up and to know that if God be for you, come on, who in the world could be against you? And if God is going to do anything great on this earth, he is always going to touch his people and empower them, that those who will believe and those who will take a step of faith and do something they never thought they could do in their own strength. If anyone would have said that my daughter-in-law, Samantha, would walk up to a house, knock on a door and say, "Hi, I'm Samantha from St. Anthony's and City Church. Is there anything we can pray for you about today?" And have people, you know, she prayed for a man a couple weeks ago on a Saturday that died the following day. They held his funeral right over in St. Anthony's just a couple weeks ago. I'm going to tell you, that was not a coincidence. That was the work of God in somebody's life. And the Lord wants to take you out of your four walls. He wants to take you out of your comfort zone. And especially in a season and in a time that we're living in right now, we don't have to let what's happened in our earth harden us. We need to be watchful. We need to be mindful. And oh my goodness, listen, we are not closing our eyes, even as a church here. We're going to amp up. We're not going to let anybody come in here and hurt anybody. Amen. You ought to be thankful about that. Come on. That's why the cameras are all over this place. Listen, we're watching you, and you don't even know. So while you're texting on your phone or checking out your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all that other stuff, we've got you on camera right now. Turn around and smile. We've got cameras up over the marquee out front. We've got monitors in the sound booth upstairs. And I've seen people, I've been watching just randomly and watching. I would see people walk up. And they were going to do something. They look up and they see that little dome up there. And they just kind of walk away like, oh, okay, I was just playing here. And I like that. We're going to put more over across town. And we're going to do the things that we can do to just make sure that everything is safe and right. And you've seen there's police officers all the time that are around this campus. You don't know it. Sometimes they're in uniform. Sometimes they're not. We are cognizant of that. But in the middle of all of that, what God is calling us to is to rise to a higher level. To say, listen, God, if you can do anything, do it in me. And some of you, will, when you do that, you'll look back a year from now and you'll think, I never thought that I would do that. I thought of Steve Vineyard and Margaret Perry, who they never knew that there would be a 500-year flood in Houston, Texas, and that God and 8 Days of Hope would intersect with them through the summer, and that they would go to Houston, and then they would call, and I would put out a plea here, and they would respond to that, and both of them go for a week. In fact, I want Steve and Margaret, come on, stand up. Let's give them, come on, stand up, guys. Let's give them a big God bless you. Come on today. Thank you, guys. And they went and they served, and what the enemy, what happened catastrophically there, God would lay his hand on them to go and sow into that. And maybe you're here today and you think, well, I could never do something like that. Yes, you could. I'm talking to some people today that maybe within this next year you'll find yourself, your feet will be on foreign soil somewhere that you never anticipated that you would go to. I remember the first time I went on a missions trip with Paulie Lamandola. I remember the first time he came in here. I looked at him and I thought, this guy is weird. Over time, getting to know him, it confirmed my suspicion from that time. Nevertheless, I'll never forget being the first time that he steps out. He said, I think God wants me to go on a mission trip. I think God, he's the most unlikely guy. I'll never forget being out on a street and we're inviting people to come to the meetings. And he's going, and people are literally running away from him. It's the funniest thing in the world. So, Paulie, go talk to that people. And they see him coming and they start running away. He turn around and he goes, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And he's so discouraged. Now, if I drop Paul, I could drop Paulie in anywhere in 10 minutes. You'd see him praying for 50 people, and people would be drawn to that anointing on his life. Why? Because he stepped out of who he thought he was. I remember the first time Chris Busniak went on a mission trip. We were walking down the streets in Marseille, France, and there's little Chris Busniak who got saved in jail here, who had alcohol and drug issues, and he was raised in a broken home. But when he believed God, and I love that song that they sang this morning, when I got saved, things began to change in my life. When I begin to embrace what God could do in me, everything then changed. And there we are. We're walking down a street in Marseille, France. He'd never been on a plane before. And what God did, and some of you that are listening to me today, I don't know who it is that I'm talking to, but I felt the Lord say, tell them, somebody in this congregation, somebody in one of these three services gatherings today is going to turn out a year from now to be a giant for the Lord Jesus Christ in this time that we're living in, because they will step out and believe him to do something they could never do in their own strength. And God never picks the qualified. He wants to lay his hand on the most obscure, the most weird, like Paulie, people. He's not weird now. Well, he is a little bit, but no, it's okay. But that's what God does. He picks out peculiar, different people who never, everybody look at and say, God could never use that person. Oh, stand back and look and watch and see what the Lord can do in somebody's life when they say, here I am, Lord, use me. Come on. Am I talking to anybody that wants to be that person today? Come on. And you may be here today and think, that could never be me. That could never happen to me. But I want to encourage you today. Get a dream. Get a plan. Begin to ask God, even while I'm speaking now, Lord, if that's me, use me in a way that I never thought possible. And I love this, this verse of scripture that really explains something that I just want to share just for a moment. And then we're going to partake in communion together in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, "But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are," look at this, "are being transformed." You are being transformed today. Whether you know it or not, whether you can even believe it or not. And some of you come in and you're just still going through things and you're not where you know God wants you to be. It's okay. You don't have to feel condemned. You're saved and God's working on you. The Bible says you are being transformed into the same image as who? Yourself, your neighbor, your father, your mother? No. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God, when you look into that mirror, God is transforming you and changing who you are. When you pick up the Word of God, when you read it, when you hear it, when you hear the gospel and it enters into your heart, there is a change that will begin to take place in your life. And you will not be the person that you used to be. Come on, can you thank God? Come on, let's take a praise break right now and just say, God, thank you for that today. I heard this story this week that it was just so challenging to me about this little girl. Her name is Marina Chapman. And she writes in a book, A Girl With No Name. And she tells this compelling story that when she was 4 years old, she was living in Colombia. And she was playing in the backyard and she really didn't know much of what took place. She couldn't remember. All she could remember is a sweaty old hairy arm grabbed her by the neck, put a cloth over her head, tied her up and threw her in a vehicle and began to drive away with her. And as that vehicle began to drive away with her, there was something on the cloth, some type of chemical that made her sleepy and tired. And she remembers being taken deep into a jungle, being assaulted by this man and then driving deeper into the jungle. She remembers the branches and things were hitting on her as she would go through this jungle. And then with clothes being torn off and beaten and scratched up, a cloth over her head and her hands tied, she was dumped in the center of a jungle all alone. In her first night, she describes in the book a night of terror. She was working as she was trying to get free from the ropes. She gets free and she pulls this cloth from over her head and she finds herself in the middle of a jungle of nowhere she's ever known before at 4 years old. And it's dark and the sounds of a jungle are terrorizing her and she's hearing noises that she'd never heard before. And the next day comes, she's crying for her mother and nobody hears her and nobody comes. The next day comes and night falls again and she again is terrorized by the sounds of that jungle at 4 years old. The third day, a group of monkeys show up and surround her and noticed her, and out of curiosity, they begin to come closer to her and they would make noises and run at her and make gestures and try to scare her off. But she would just cowl and cuddle even more in that little bush and she would be afraid and didn't know what to do. No one to hear her. No one around. And finally, after some time, these same monkeys would begin to eat and forage for fruit and nuts. And all of a sudden, they would bring some by and lay them down in front of her a little distance. And after a while, she would come out of that little nesting spot that she had made. And she would pick up those nuts and she'd begin to eat those berries. And she watched how they would drink water in the middle of that rainforest off them big green leaves. And as the water would run off, they would drink it. She would begin to do that so she could exist. And she did what the monkeys would do. I read one account where she ate something that was spoiled or rotten. She got so sick almost she thought she was going to die. And she called one of the monkeys a grandma monkey. Took her down to a dirty river where muddy water and had her drink it, and it made her so sick that she vomited up. But she accredits that, what she called a grandma monkey, keeping her alive to this day. 3 days would turn into a week. A week would turn into a month. And a month would turn into over 5 years that this little girl would live in the jungle, learning to survive and literally becoming like those who she was emulating every single day of her life. She would climb trees. She would grunt noises like she learned from the other monkeys. And at this point, she was forgetting what it was to be a human, and she was really believing that she was like one of the monkeys because that's who she was around every single day. That's who she was exposed to, until one day she was in a tree and she looked down and she saw a shiny object laying in a small clump of grass. She climbed down from the tree and out of curiosity, she went over and she picked it up, and like any animal would, she began to touch it. She bit it to see if it was something to eat. And then as she turned it around, she looked at it and she saw eyes that she had never seen before looking at her. She dropped it and she ran quick back up the tree to hide again. And as she stood from a distance and began to watch that, she noticed that it didn't move. Then she went back again out of curiosity and she approached it small and she picked it up and she discovered as she looked at it that the eyes that she was seeing in the mirror were her eyes, and that she had never seen that before. She never could remember. It had been so long. And for the first time she could ever remember, she saw who she really was. After it seemed like a lifetime as a little four-year-old not remembering what it was like to be around any humans, she began to see who she really was. That she wasn't like the monkeys that she'd been living with. That she was born to be different. That she had an awareness that came to her. And that she discovered that she was not like who she had been trying to be like. Man, she realized that maybe she didn't know who she was. But when she looked in the mirror, she knew that she was made for more. And she gets, after several months go by, she sees a group of hunters going through. And she gets picked up and through a series of very serious circumstances. After that, she grows a little older, and she now lives in England. She's in her 60s, and actually National Geographic has done several videos on her and took her back to see where she lived. And although this story it's so fascinating and it illuminates the scripture, I wonder today how many people are here that think like they are still living in a jungle and thinking that they are something that they are not. And the Bible says that when we hear the word of the living God, when we hear what God speaks to us, when we look in the mirror of God's word and God's plan for our lives, we see something different. That after we do and we get a glimpse or we hear it and something enters into our heart, we can never go back and live the old monkey life again. And sometimes we think that we can just continue in a single way. I remember when I got saved. Listen, I was the bad of the bad before I made that decision. And did it all go away overnight? No. But every time I would try to go back and live the way that I used to live, something was different. I'd feel this pull. It would be like, it wasn't a condemnation, but it was a conviction that came into my heart that would subtly tell me, you're made for more than this. You've got something greater inside of you than what you're doing right now. And this is what I pray for you today. And I remember as I was thinking about this just last night, I thought the old song, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, the more joy he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer that I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Oh my goodness, am I talking to anybody today? Do you know what I mean? That the more you serve the Lord, that you find out that you have been created for more in your life, and that you have been created not to stay like that person in the jungle, but to come out of it and to be greater and to be more than you have ever been before. You say, because when you live the jungle life, you learn that if somebody hates you, you're going to hate them back. If somebody hurts you, you're going to hurt them back. That's the jungle life. If they punch you, you're going to punch them. I'm going to get them back. If somebody talks smack and negative about you, You're going to do the same about them, except you're going to amp it up even more. You're going to get them. I'll show them. You come after me, I'm coming after you. But something takes place when you open up your heart and your life to the gospel. When you look into that mirror and you see the glory of the Lord, you don't see who you are yet, but you see who you can be. Something happens when you hear the word of the Lord. Something happens when you come under the canopy of hearing the gospel of Jesus that changes your life. And you find out, I'm not who I was. I'm not yet what I will be, but I'm moving in that direction. And when that happens in your life, it's not easy to hate back when you've been hated on. You can't settle a disagreement by wanting just to go out and fight others. When people start lying about you or talking nasty or smack about you, I ask Aaron, what is some slang? I should have called Chris. He would have told me right off the bat. What do you say when slang? Somebody talking smack or lying about you? She goes, I don't know. So I did what every preacher does. I Googled it. And I came up with what the British would say when people speak codswallop about you. When they balderdash you or talk baloney or blowy or bobo or bogus or booty cheddar or bull honky. When they do that, you don't come back with the same thing because something touched you and you're not the same person. But you have the propensity that you want to love them because the God in heaven not only has touched your life, but I don't care who it is and how wretched they are, He can touch their life and do the same in them as what He's done in you. And this is what happens when you look in the mirror. Now, because you have been forgiven, you can forgive a whole lot easier. Oh, is anybody hearing me today? You say things like, you don't get angry, you don't get mad. You say things like, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You say things like David said, once I was young, but now I'm just a little older, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for any bread. Come on, I've lived that life right now. I can tell you I was once young, but now I'm just a little older. I'm stronger than I was, but I'm just a little older, and I've never seen those who are righteous serving the Lord. I've never seen them begging bread. I've never seen them hurt and God forsaken them. Not one time. Come on, are you listening to me today? Is anybody here that can agree with me? One thing, when we look in the mirror, when we hear God's word, when we read the word of God, when we hear the gospel, one thing it does, I'm going to just share these three things, and then we're going to share communion together. It shows you who you are and what you are not. I love this in 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. You are a chosen generation. Come on today. You're not just anybody here. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. Do you know we are a nation? He said you're His own special people. You're special today. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of a dark place into His marvelous light. You may be here today. You might not have it all together, but if you ask Christ to come into your heart, you may still be pondering in the jungle a little bit, but I'm going to tell you, He's in a process of moving you into light so you don't have to live in darkness anymore. He goes on to say, you weren't even a people. You were hanging around with the monkeys and the chipmunks and all the other stuff in the jungle, but He says, now you are the people of God because you've obtained mercy, and you who had not obtained mercy, you didn't know what it was, but now you have obtained mercy. How many are you happy for the mercy of God today? Come on, let's just take a praise break and thank God right now for that. Behold in the mirror the glory of God. He says you are being transformed. Secondly, we begin to do what He has called us to do. I like this in James 1, 21, 22, and 23. He said, lay aside. This is what happens when you hear the gospel, when Jesus comes into your life, when you begin to be transformed and changed. He says, you lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. There it is again, which is able to save your soul. Thank God for that. Come on. Can we just say thank you, Lord, for saving our souls today? And then he goes on and said, but be a doer of the word. Don't just hear it today. Engage. Not just to hear only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that when he looks in the mirror, he doesn't see the glory of God. He just sees his natural face. Oh, this is good enough. Oh, I'm okay. Oh, I'm fine. This is as far as I want to go. I know you're talking about stepping out in faith and such, but this is all I want to do, preacher. And God says, be a doer of the word. Step out of that safety zone. Get out of that place of comfort. Step out and get out of the jungle today and begin to believe God to transform and change your life like it's never happened before. Oh, he's calling somebody to be a giant in his house today. And number three, and I want those who are going to help with communion, come on down right now. Number three, the mirror, the word, the gospel, it shows you who you shall be. I love this in 1 John 3:2. It says, beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. God, I don't even know who I'm talking to in this house today. I don't know who is the giant or the giants that God is going to raise up. Who a year from now are we going to look around? Who else am I going to have stand up that went and served in a hurricane or a flood or some catastrophe? Who else is it going to be that is going to be walking on foreign soil? From this point on, you'd never considered it, but all of a sudden, the Word of God came into your life and you've looked in the mirror and you haven't seen what you are. But when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And that is the call that God wants in our lives. Because God sees something in you right now, right today, that you don't even see in yourself. You see what you've been, what you've done, where you've gone. But God looks at you and He says today, I see what you shall be. I'm not concerned with where you've been, with who you've been with, or what you've done. I'm concerned with where you are going today. You may be feeling today, you may be feeling like that little Marina was. You may be here and just feel like a dirty little girl living in a tree. But I want you to know that Jesus has come to lift you into a place that you have never been before. Some of you, God wants you to know that He forgives you and you don't have to carry that guilt around in your life anymore. And for some of you, He wants you to learn that same forgiveness in your life. You know, something that creates more darkness in lives than anything is when you hinder and hold unforgiveness in your life towards someone else over something that has happened in your life. It veils you from moving forward into the dimension that God has called you to. When you receive the cup and the bread today, just hold it and we'll all partake together. But if you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that. In fact, don't even take the communion if you haven't given your life to Christ today. And you can do that. It's not signing any document. It's not joining a church. It's no religious experience except simply saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and my life. Does that mean you got to be perfect from here on out? Can I tell you something? I guarantee you, you won't be. But can I tell you that He'll begin to mold you into a new creature in Christ? Yes, I can. He'll change your life. And a year from now, we'll turn around and we'll say, who looked into that mirror? Who stepped out in faith? Who was it that began to move, that began to go in directions, that began to do things that they never thought they would? Who am I talking to today? Say, well, I just don't know if that's me. Ask God what He would have you to do. And watch and see what He do. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. Just close your eyes. Somebody needs to give their life to Christ today. Just need to tell them, Lord, I'm all yours. Come into my heart. Forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. Wash me. Some of you, you're still hanging out in the trees. The Lord wants to turn you into a new person, make you a new creature in Christ. Come on out of the tree today. Come on down. Begin to live like God has called you to live. If you desired to take communion and by chance you were missed today, I want you to wave your hand at me real good so we can see it. We want to make sure that anyone that wants to participate in communion today. Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, the Bible said he took bread. He held it up. He said, "This is my body. This is my body, which is broken for you." He blessed it. He broke it. He gave thanks and he gave it. He said, "Take it. Eat it, every one of you. And as you do, remember what I've done for you." Let's partake of the bread, body of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He took the cup in the same way. He said, "This is the new covenant, my blood, which will be poured out." Jesus hung on that cross when he was beaten, when a spear was shoved through his side, nails driven through his hands, a crown of thorns on his head, and blood flowed from his body. That blood was the payment for the penalty of your sin and my sin. When he sat at that table, just close your eyes just a moment. I want you to envision this. When he sat at that table with his disciples, and he said, "This is my blood that has been poured out for you." He said, "Whenever you drink this cup, remember that. Remember what I have done for you." God, I just say thank you today for your son, Jesus. The blood that you shed for us at Calvary. There is not a sin that you have not paid for. There is not an attribute, a proclivity that you are unaware of that you can't bring healing and change to. Lord, as we partake of this cup, blood of the Lord Jesus, I pray that you will arise in this place, champions and giants for you and for your kingdom. Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. I pray your hope. I pray your grace. I want some of the prayer people, come on down. Stand in front of me as I close in prayer. If you need prayer for anything else in your life, these people are here to pray for you. Lord, I want to say thank you for your love and your grace today. May in everything and all that you be honored, you be glorified today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. If you need prayer for anything today, you come on down. Let these beautiful people pray over you. Go in God's beautiful grace today. Enjoy the day. Stop in the foyer on the way out. Fellowship a little bit before you leave today. Make sure you tell two or three people how much you love them. God bless you.